Summer in Busheltown. There's always a bird singing on the breeze. The rye is as high or higher than an elephant's eye. And it's a time when the heat is so powerful, I've seen eggs cook in their shells before the chickens ever even laid them. Perhaps it was the oppressive heat that made Cliff and Kendall, their producer Mr. Snodbottom, and his wife, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, so riled up on the day of their big fight. Yes, one sweltering summer day, the four friends started to discuss just where to place a new rug in their lobby. And one thing led to another, and each of them got so hot under the collar that they determined to up and change their impending vacation plans. It was decided they could each use a break from the others. And so, they set out on four separate vacations, each of which I will tell you about right now. Kendall sought to remove himself from the heat of Busheltown and the rigor of hosting an internet talk show / filler program for local radio station Rye 99. He wound up traveling the high seas on a magical cruise that would turn out far different than expected.
Sir, would you please turn down your iPad?
Oh, sorry, I was just taking a magic break and watching National Lampoon's Vacation. Since I'm on vacation and it's about a vacation?
Well, it's making the cruise much less magical for the other guests.
Oh, sorry.
Very well, sir. Now, may I show you an illusion?
Oh, sure.
Pick any of these cards. Come on now, don't be afraid. Just pick one. It's your choice.
This one.
Now, I'm not looking. I haven't got a clue what your card is. Could be the Ace of Clubs, could be the Nine of Hearts, or the Four of Diamonds, or even the Five of Spades, which happens to be my personal favorite. But just put your card back in the deck. Here, thank you. Now I will shuffle the cards. Don't forget to see the Magic Genie in the Abracadabra room this evening. And also Handsome Jack is leading the Prestidigitation Parade at midnight tonight on the deck of Mystery.
Oh, I've already scheduled a wake-up call for that.
Excellent, excellent. Now is this your card?
That's it!
I thought so, and now I disappear.
Ooh, coming on this Magic Magician's cruise alone is the best thing I've ever done. No producer having an irritable bowel attack, no co-host bursting into song, and no one around to hassle me about etiquette.
And now I reappear. I forgot to take your drink order.
Ooh, I'll have another drowned Houdini.
And now I disappear again.
Magical.
Later that evening, Kendall was dining in the Blackstone room, where he was about to see a familiar face.
Hey, a familiar face!
Hey, Kendall!
Hey, Terry, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm temporarily on board this magical cruise ship, working as a temp waitress and illusionist. Did you order the double portion of fettuccine alfredo?
That's me.
Say, where's everyone else? It's odd to see you without Cliff, or Mr. Snodbottom, or Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn.
Well, we had kind of a fight over where to put the rug in the lobby of the studio. I said it should be horizontal against the door like a normal person. Cliff said it should be vertical in front of the door, which is just crazy.
So everyone took sides and then you decided to take separate vacations, right?
How did you know?
I've learned a lot out temping on the road all these years, or in this case, temping out in the ocean.
I would say so.
Kendall, there is one more thing.
Was it my garlic bread? I don't think you brought it.
No, it's right here behind your ear. The one more thing is, I'm kind of in a jam. I'm so glad, actually, I ran into you because I think I need your help.
Sure, Terry. Anything for the beloved temp who certainly helped me out of a jam or two.
Great. Can you meet me just after the midnight Prestidigitation Parade? I'll be waiting for you outside the Copperfield Cantina.
But won't that part of the ship be deserted then?
Exactly.
Terry, what's going on?
The less you know, the better, but I'll see you tonight. Come alone.
I will. I'm on this vacation alone. My wife Susan is even here. Not that she necessarily would have come. She might not have. She would probably hate it, but she wasn't even available to hate it. She's on a business trip to Uzbekistan.
Right. Okay, I'll be right back with some more water.
And can I have another drowned Houdini?
Coming right up!
Later, outside the Copperfield Cantina, Kendall stood waiting for Terry in a dark and deserted area, which caused the cruise to suddenly seem less magical and far more dangerous.
Hey, Kendall, I'm glad you showed up.
Terry, what is this all about? The cruise is starting to seem less magical and far more dangerous.
Kendall, just don't ask questions. I don't want anyone failing a lie detector test for me. Not again. Not after last time.
What happened last time?
I can't really say much, except I was temping for the FBI, and an informant I was taping learned too much, and these two agents I was working with hooked him up to a polygraph machine and started to interrogate him. Both agents thought they were supposed to be the bad cop, and they ended up beating the informant to death while I was stuck in traffic. I kept beeping them to try and fix the whole thing, but they never called me back. It was back when everyone had beepers, so a while ago.
Wow. I don't want to get beaten to death. Not before I lose 40 pounds, anyway.
You'll be fine. Just, follow me and do exactly what I say.
Terry the Temp led Kendall down a long corridor, through a steamy boiler room, and down into the belly of the great ship.
We're in the belly of the ship.
It's really hot.
I know. Listen, I need your help lifting that.
That long, narrow, body-shaped bag over there?
Yeah, that's the one.
Are we going to burn it in the furnace?
Too noticeable. We have to carry it back to where we met and drop it overboard.
Overboard? Aren't there laws about littering the ocean? And what if cameras see us? Are we in international waters?
Kendall, no more questions. I just need you to help me lift him, I mean it, and drop it overboard. Then we never talk about this again. It never happened. Got it?
Got it.
Kendall helped Terry carry the long, narrow, body-shaped bag out of the ship's belly, back through a steamy boiler room, up a long corridor, and out into the dark, deserted area behind the Copperfield Cantina.
Okay, Kendall, lift up and let it drop into the water when I count to three. One, two...
Terry, isn't there any other way?
I'm afraid not. I've been temping so long, I know when I'm all out of options. Three, let go, let go, let go!
Now what?
Nothing. It's over. It's probably better if we act like we don't know each other for the rest of the cruise, just in case anyone gets suspicious. But, thanks, Kendall.
Anything for such a faithful and close temp like you, Terry.
Oh, that's four bells. I have to run and start making the magical muffins for breakfast.
What makes them magical?
They're really cupcakes. Good night.
Good night, Terry.
Still slightly in shock from such a dangerous evening, Kendall made his way back to his cabin and then slept fitfully for the next several hours. He woke groggy and wishing it had all been a dream.
Oh, was that all a dream? Oh no, I really did eat a double portion of fettuccine Alfredo. And oh no, Terry and I threw a body-shaped bag into the ocean. I'm sure it wasn't a body. Hey, what's that? Oh, they just slipped the ship's daily newsletter under the door. Hey, Harry Anderson is leading the prestidigitation parade tonight. Oh my god. Head waiter missing and feared dead. Body can't be found on ship. Oh, Terry, what did we do? Oh, Terry, what did we do? What did we do? Oh, Terry, oh, Terry, Terry, oh, Terry, what did we do? What did we do? What did we do? What did we do?
It seemed the tides were turning against Kendall, but he wasn't the only one near danger. Kendall's producer, Mr. Snobbottom, had opted for a trip to Miami Beach for his separate vacation. The sun was shining at the Miami Sands Hotel, and it was tanning all those who had gathered around the Sands' large Olympic-sized swimming pool. One of those sunbathers toasting by the pool was Mr. Snobbottom himself.
Oh my! This is a beautiful day here by the pool. Glorious sunshine, heavenly palm trees, and a nice reclining chair to sit in. If only the others hadn't insisted the rug be placed like that, everyone could have been enjoying this beautiful day here by the pool. Glorious sunshine, heavenly palm trees.
Hey, what's that?
I was just saying that if Cliff and Candle and my beautiful wife, Mrs. Butter Butter Butterstone, had only agreed with me about the placement of the rug in the lobby, we all could have been enjoying this beautiful Miami sunshine. You see, I think we should have placed the rug in front of the desk and not pushed it up to the door. My beautiful wife agreed with me, but she wanted to place it horizontally against the desk and it would have looked much better vertically aligned, if you know what I mean.
I ain't got one clue what you mean, but my name's David Delano Danger. You can call me Dave, though.
David, boy. I'm Mr. Snodbottom, producer of Clifford Candle Coast to Coast. It's an internet talk show. Perhaps you've heard of it?
Can't say I have, Mr. Snodbottom, but you seem a right nice feller to me.
Thank you, David Bowie. Say, have you seen a lunch menu? I was thinking of ordering something and eating by the pool here, since I am alone on this vacation.
Yep, here you go. I got a menu right here.
Thank you, Bowie. I need to order something bland that won't upset my bowel.
You got a bowel problem?
I hate to bring it up. It's a bit of a secret, don't you know, but I do suffer from irritable bowel syndrome and have an attack from time to time.
Whew, ain't that a shame.
Yes, I'm afraid it rather is, Bowie.
So, you say you're here alone with a bowel problem?
Yes, Bowie. Isn't it always the way?
You know, you remind me of my daddy.
Really? Is that so, Bowie?
Mm-hmm. His name was Daniel Deuteronomy Danger. He had a set of weak bowels, too.
How very interesting.
Say, would you like to join me for dinner tonight in the coconut room here at the hotel? That is, if you don't have any plans.
I was just going to stay in my room and apply some ointments, but I think those plans can be changed.
Whew. That's great, Mr. Snodbottom. The coconut room is black tie. Do you have a tuxedo with you?
Of course, Bowie. I am a producer, after all.
Yes, Mr. Snodbottom had just made arrangements to have dinner with Danger.
Danger. Danger.
David Delano Danger, to be precise. That evening, in the coconut room of the Miami Sands Hotel, the tables were set with fine linens. Silver tableware glistened in the soft lighting, and men and women dressed to the nines danced and dined the night away. Mr. Snodbottom and Mr. Danger were seated at a table not far from the dance floor and were just finishing their dinner.
How was your dinner, Mr. Snodbottom?
Oh, it was very good, Bowie. But I do wonder if the clam broth I had might have been too spicy, for I feel a distant rumbling in my bowels. Did you tell the chef to make it extra bland like I requested?
Sure did. When I was up from the table before our entrees came, I made sure to tell that chef to make the clam broth and saltines extra bland for my friend with the extra sensitive irritable bowels.
Thank you, David Bowie. I'm sure you did your best.
Surely did.
David Bowie, I don't want to alarm you.
You having a bowel attack already?
No, Bowie. No, Bowie, but there is a woman staring at us. She's right there at the next table.
Dear, I'm sorry to have been staring. But have you seen my husband? He was the tall one with the one eyebrow. He went to get my sweater from the coat check room 10 minutes ago. We're here on vacation from Arkansas, and I'm afraid he might have gotten lost.
I don't think we've seen him.
Oh, well, he'll turn up eventually. Did you see that rich lady sitting right over there? The one with them diamonds all over her, like she's wearing a chandelier around her neck. What is she? Royalty or some kind of TV star or something?
Say, ain't that Lady Holiday?
Lady Holiday? Is that her? That big designer who always wears at least $1 million of diamonds at all times, even when she's asleep?
Yep, she wears a diamond-crusted sleep mask, or so I hear.
Oh, how very interesting, but I do believe I must find a man's room.
Hey, can you wait just a sec, Mr. Snodbottom? You just wait right here. I'm going to go look for this woman's husband real quick.
Thank you so much. And remember, he's just got one eyebrow.
Boy, I think merely as a precautionary measure, I...
Wait right here, Mr. Snodbottom.
All right, boy. Whatever you say.
So is he your son? Or maybe some kind of paid escort or companion?
No, he's a gentleman I met by the pool. It seems I remind him of his own father, who also possessed a weak bowel.
Oh.
If you will excuse me, I can't wait for David Bowie any longer. Ooh, I do think I must find a restroom. Pardon me.
Mr. Snodbottom hadn't yet made it across the dining room when his bowel attack started outright. In fact, he was right beside the diamond-covered Lady Holiday when he lost all control.
Oh, my. Oh, dear. I'm frightfully sorry, dear.
Oh, dear. It's quite all right.
Mr. Snodbottom's bowels could no longer be contained.
Oh, my. Oh. Excuse me, everyone. Oh,
Hey, what's that smell?
Oh, my mouth. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lady Holiday. Oh, I seem to have made quite a mess.
Oh, dear, it's quite all right. Oh, my jewels. My jewels. Someone has stolen my jewels.
Oh, my. Oh, my bow.
My bow. My jewels.
Yes, Mr. Snobbottom had somehow found himself in the center of a jewel heist. No one could be sure how that would turn out, least of all Mr. Snobbottom's wife, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn. She was far from the recently befouled coconut room, far from the shores of Miami Beach, far from the scorching heat of Busheltown, and far from the entire United States of America. Yes, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn had traveled all the way to Venice, Italy for her separate vacation. She was currently lounging in the back of her own privately rented gondola, being chauffeured down the Grand Canal by her own privately rented gondolier, a Mr. Luigi Marioni.
Luigi, it's such a beautiful day. I admit I feel a bit strange having taken a separate vacation from my loving husband, Mr. Snotbottom, and our friend Squiff and Kendall. But I'm starting to relax and enjoy being back in Venice. Oh, it hasn't changed much since I was here as a young lady on my second honeymoon with my third husband.
No, ma'am. Venice, she hasn't changed much in 600 years.
That's why it's such a popular place. Oh, do you know if the little ristorante called Pignotta Calda is still around? I think it was near St. Mark's Square.
Yes, ma'am. She is still around. Pignotta Calda, she is one of Luigi's favorite ristorantes.
Oh, I would love to dine there again. I remember all their delightfully authentic cuisine.
Yes, ma'am. I will make you a reservation for tonight before the opera.
Oh, that's wonderful, dear. And I'll need to do some shopping at the Rialto. And do you think we can make it over to Murano one day? My husband, Mr. Snotbottom, has been meaning to start a blown glass collection, and they're quite famous for blowing glass over in Murano.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, part of me wishes Mr. Snotbottom was here with me, even though he would no doubt have a bowel attack at the gondola, or fall asleep at the opera and snore so loudly his dentures would fall out, like he did last fall at the fundraiser to raise awareness for... Oh, well, I forget what it was, but I do love and miss him. Oh, well, next time. Venice is just so peaceful.
I beg your pardon, mi mamma. I hate to interrupt your speech, but I think you may want to take that newspaper and cover your head.
Oh, my, whatever's the matter, Luigi?
One or two things have changed since you last been to Venice, mamma. One of them is about to head our way. They outlawed these Americano jet skis, but sometimes some rude people still ride them. They make the bigger waves on the Grand Canal and splash nice passengers like you.
Oh, my overflowing heavens! I'll just batten down the hatches then, shall I, Luigi?
Yes, mama. Here she comes, the noisy tourist of a jet ski. Oh, Mama, is you all right? Did you get that nice lace collar wet?
No, dear. You must never doubt the self-reliance of a Busheltown woman. Luigi, I came prepared. I just put on my rain bonnet and covered myself with this poncho I'd stored in my purse from a long ago Cicadas in the Rye Festival.
Mamma mia.
Yes, dear. Now, what kind of amoral person would jet ski down the Grand Canal? I mean, really, dear, it's so disrespectful to etiquette, it just makes me sick.
Yes, Mama. I'm getting sick too.
Well, not even noisy touristas can rob the timeless city of Venice of its charms. Later that evening, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn was again in good spirits. She was also dressed in her elegant best for a night on the town, with her gondolier acting as her guide. She and Luigi were walking from St. Mark's Square to the quaint old ristorante known as Pignotta Calda.
What a beautiful night. I feel like Grace Kelly or Elizabeth Taylor or some other glamorous dead movie star.
Yes, Mama.
It's so nice to see the city after so many of the tourists have gone back to the mainland. It feels like I live here.
Uh-oh. Mamma mia.
Oh, no, Luigi, what's that sound?
It's another thing only the lowest of the touristas will do. They rent the ATV and drive them around. Only the laziest and the most obese Americanos will do this because in Venice there are no automobiles.
Oh my!
Take a shelter behind me, mama. Step behind me. Here they come.
No, oh dear, dear, dear.
It is all right, mama. They were gone.
Oh, such noise. I can't believe etiquette has gone so far downhill here, even in Venice. I would never have dreamed.
Yes, mom. Let's go eat and take our minds off of this with the food.
Now you're starting to sound like an Americano, Luigi.
Mrs. Potterbutter Butterchurn and her gondolier walked leisurely toward Pañata Calda. When they arrived, they were surprised to see a commotion outside.
Oh, my, what's all this?
Don't you worry, Mama. I will see you with the traveler she is.
Oh, dear, I do hope I will make it to the opera on time. While I don't adore Puccini as much as Tchaikovsky or Verdi, Puccini would definitely be in my top 10. Oh, Luigi, what did you find out? What is this hubbub?
Oh, Mama, it seems an Americano swine made the biggest stink when he no had the reservation. He know I like you, Mama. You think ahead.
No. Dear, I feel embarrassed for my fellow countrymen. What did this person do?
Oh, ma'am, I can't even repeat for you. It is a low thing to do.
Oh, my heavens, I think I can read between your lines, Luigi. And I appreciate your adherence to etiquette even at a time like this. Now, what this misfit did, was it number one or number two?
Oh, mamma mia, she was the due.
Oh, two, I'm feeling faint.
Yes, Mama. This Americano did this here because in the English, Pañata Calda, she means hot loaf.
Oh, dear, now I simply don't see the correlation between a hot loaf and a person defecating on a sidewalk in front of a quaint old ristorante. They obviously mean a hot loaf of bread, dear, or a hot loaf meatloaf of some kind. Honestly, dear, a hot loaf indeed.
Yes, Mama. I don't think I feel so good.
Oh, neither do I, dear. Let's skip dinner and just get some cotton candy at the opera.
Yes, Mama.
Even though Venice no longer seemed to be quite as flawless as she recalled it, Mrs. Potterbutter Butterchurn was determined to enjoy her separate vacation. At the opera that night, she lost herself in the beautiful music of one of her top 10 favorite operatic composers, a Mr. Puccini.
Dear, look at their lovely costumes.
Yes, Mama.
This is simply fantastic.
What happened?
Some imbecile on the balcony must have dropped their playbill and hit me on the head. In Teatro de Finis, of all places.
Yes, Mama. Let's go get some air in the lobby.
Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn and her gondolier walked into the lobby of the Teatro de Finis to get some air. But unfortunately, the air in the lobby was about to turn sour.
Oh, Luigi, I never experienced so many breaches of etiquette in one day before. Not since I was back at the studio with... Oh, my exploding haystacks, can it be?
Oh, hey, Mrs. Butterchurn, I couldn't tell if that was you or not in the theater.
Oh, Charles the Contractor, how emblazoned did you end up in Venice? I assumed you were safely on another continent.
Yeah, funny story. I was filling out contest entry forms on the computer in the lobby of the studio when y'all were having that big fight about the new rug, and then I ended up winning a free trip to Venice, Italy, which is okay, I guess, but I really wanted to win the trip to the sex robot factory in Japan.
Charles, dear, please, I can't stand any more outrageous behavior today. It's threatening to ruin my vacation.
Hey, who's that guy?
It's my gondolier, Luigi Moroni.
It's a very, nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise, senor. Hey, Miss Butterchurn. Hey, I see you still got your playbill. You think I could have it? I promised this woman I met at the truck stop I'd bring her something Italian. I'd take her mine, but it slipped out of my hands when I was buying one of them tall beers up on the balcony.
Oh, yes, dear, take it. Oh, my, that explains a lot.
Thanks. Hey, I'm out of Butterfinger Bites, so I'm gonna leave this stupid show. It's just a bunch of fat women screaming.
Oh, Charles, really?
Hey, if you ain't doing nothing tomorrow, I got a few hours left on a jet ski rental. Man, you should have seen the waves I was making in that Venice River today.
Oh, Charles, I'll have to pass on that. And we must be getting back to the opera, Luigi, dear. Let's not miss everyone's favorite part.
Shortly thereafter, during everyone's favorite part...
Oh, my, this is my favorite part! Can't be!
Oh no, she isn't gonna no be able to go on.
And Luigi was right. In one rare case of the show not going on, the opera was canceled for the night since the soloist lost her voice after the shock of hearing the siren outside. As Mrs. Potter Butter Butterturn and Luigi made it to the lobby of the theater, Luigi was briefly delayed by a phone call.
Oh, Luigi, dear, was that an urgent phone call? Your wife isn't jealous of me, is she?
No, ma'am. The phone call, she was not for me. She is for you, ma'am. It was the Polizia Italiano. They have imprisoned the man that you were speaking to earlier. He said to call you.
Oh, now my reputation will be ruined all over Europe. What are the charges?
Theft, ma'am. And I'm afraid it's a serioso. You see, thieves can be imprisoned for 40 or 50 years, and sometimes they even get put down by the firing squad.
Oh, heavens! Does Charles the Contractor deserve the death sentence?
Just as Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn was facing the ethical dilemma of whether or not to save Charles the Contractor from execution, someone else back in Busheltown was about to face some startling news.
Austin? Could you get that fax? Austin? Oh, right. He went backpacking through Canada this week. Becky? Oh, right. Becky's in a mental institution. That means I'm the last one in the studio, which means I have to get the faxes. But on the upside, no one can hear me talking to myself. Or singing to myself. God, so many faxes. Damn it, my Vita reality tour is canceled again. Why do they let those drunk chorus boys take selfies on the balcony of the Casa Rosada if they keep falling off? I guess that means a week of eating ice cream in my underwear and watching Mama's Family on YouTube. Could be worse. Everyone else could be here, and I wouldn't be able to position this new rug in the correct way, pushed up to the door vertically, which is so obviously the only way it looks good. Who could that be? Everyone's off on their separate vacations. Hello?
Hello there. I'm passing through town and was wondering if there was any work could be done around your place here, and I'd be glad to work for whatever you could offer, even if it was only supper.
Well, this isn't my house. It's a studio where we record an internet talk show that also airs on KBSH at 4 a.m. on Sunday mornings. I don't think I...
You sure there ain't nothing that needs doing around this old studio?
Well, Austin does the filing, Mr. Snodbottom does the producing. Our writers fax us everything else. Oh, hey, there is something you could do.
And what's that?
Cliff led the drifter, who'd just shown up at the front door of the studio, through to the back door of the studio.
This plot of dirt here, we've been meaning to make it into a garden. You think you could till the soil and plow it by hand and get us a good crop going?
I don't see why not. I'm good with my hands.
Okay, then. Here are some seeds we've kept over here in this thing. Just don't plant these seeds. They're Austin's, and, well, we don't want Sheriff Frogblast nosing around here asking questions.
No, we sure don't.
You know, you never told me your name.
My folks named me Jack Rabbit Alva Greenfield, after their favorite animal in the inventor of the crescent roll, Thomas Alva Pillsbury. But you can call me Jack.
Oh. My name is...
Cliff.
How did you know?
It was painted above your picture inside.
Oh.
The drifter Jack worked the soil all afternoon. He planted and tilled until his shirt was soaked with sweat. Cliff watched from the window of the studio as Jack took his dripping shirt off and slung it on the ground behind him. Jack's muscles glistened so brightly in the sun that Cliff had to squint his eyes when he went out to offer the drifter some lemonade.
Lemonade?
Thanks.
So, what did you plant?
Tomatoes. I figured everybody likes tomatoes.
Well, I hate tomatoes, but that's fine.
You hate tomatoes? Do you hate spaghetti, pizza, or the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
Not at all.
Where I come from, they made us grow tomatoes, but we never could eat them. All we could do was boil the stalks they grew on and ingest them for nourishment.
That's probably why you're so skinny.
All I wanted each day was just to eat one mouthful of tomato.
I guess I love tomatoes. It just took you to show me where you were. Was that prison?
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure you were there for something small, like parking tickets, or you were arrested for protesting a war. Oh, were you there? Were you occupying Wall Street?
I embezzled several $100,000 from a heating and cooling company.
Oh, that's not so bad.
I may just be an ex-con drifter passing through town, and you're someone with your name painted on a wall in a building. And I hope you don't think it's too forward of me. But when I was in prison, I spent many years learning to please a large man, such like yourself. And since you do have this empty studio building...
Jack, I don't know what to say.
Let's just say...
Let's go do it on that new rug.
I went to work for him that summer. A drifter without my own home. He was a lonely fat podcaster, left in the studio alone.
It had been one hot summer. I was alone that whole week. So we stayed inside in shadows. One thing we didn't do was sleep.
Then he came to me one evening. Big slice of pizza and a smile. He looked like the kind of person I hadn't seen since before my trial.
Guess what I needed was a drifter with prison-hardened thighs. This is a different kind of hunger that I don't always recognize.
We had a need to feel the thunder, to chase the lightning from the sky, to watch a storm with all its wonder
raging in a drifter's eyes.
We had to ride the heat of passion like a field of burning rye, rushing headlong in the wind. Now our only dreams have been banging both ends of the night.
But before the week was finished, Cliff and Jack knew that a relationship between an obese internet talk show host and an ex-con passing through town couldn't last.
I'll always think about this summer, the sex, the moonlight, and the sweat.
I know I always will remember. Fat guys like you I can't forget.
And when I pass those tomatoes and see them dancing in the wind, I'll be the only one that knows it was you that made them grow. And then I'll think of you again.
We had a need to feel the thunder, to chase the lightning from the sky, to watch a storm with all its wonder
raging in a drifter's eyes.
We had to ride the heat of passion like a field of burning rye,
rushing headlong in the wind. Now our only dreams have been banging both ends of the night.
Rushing headlong in the wind. Now our only dreams have been banging both ends of the night.
Goodbye, Cliff.
Goodbye, Jack.
Ah! Cliff, don't scream like that just because I'm back.
You just surprised me is all. How was the magic cruise?
Magical, obviously. Except there was this one time where I think Terry the Temp had me help her dispose of a body.
Terry the Temp was there? Is she a magician?
Yes, and possibly a murderer.
Hello, everyone. I'm back from Miami.
Welcome back, Mr. Snodbottom. I hope your vacation was relaxing.
Yes, Candle Boy. Except for when I was accused of being a jewel thief.
What? Hello, dears. I hope everyone had a great week apart. Venice was lovely, but you'll never guess who else was there.
Who?
Charles the Contractor. Oh, no.
Dear, whatever did you do?
Well, for one thing, I got a call from him after he was arrested and charged with theft, which they often execute for in Venice.
Oh my god.
That's crazy. Except for the part about Charles being arrested. I can see that happening.
What could that fax be? Didn't everybody just get back all at once?
This fax is from the Sands Hotel in Miami Beach. It's a bill for cleaning the carpet in the coconut room. Does that make sense to anybody?
Boy, I think that's for me. You see, I had a bowel attack in the coconut room when a young man I'd been dining with happened to steal a diamond necklace worth over $2 million from around Lady Holiday's neck.
Lady Holiday, the famous designer, was there?
Yes, boy, and she nearly had me locked away. I was interrogated by the police for hours. I was accused of stealing her diamonds, but the truth finally came to light when it was discovered I'd been used as a diversion, boy. You see, my dining companion had overly spiced my clam broth without my knowledge, and nature took its course. I had a bile attack, and he stole the diamond.
You poor dear!
Oh, God.
I can't believe you were interrogated by police for hours. So was I. What for? The Terry the Temp thing. She was temping on the cruise as a magician slash waitress. How does that involve the police? Well, Terry asked me to help her dump something overboard late one night. And you know how hard it is for me to say no to anyone. And then the next morning, we found out a waiter had gone missing.
Terry didn't kill the waiter, did she? Is that why she's always moving around?
I don't know, but... Austin!
He's still in Canada.
Oh, right. Hey, this fax is from Terry.
Weird.
Oh, this makes total sense.
What? She had a reason for the murder?
No, she didn't murder anybody. By accident, Terry used rancid mayonnaise to make 200 pounds of macaroni salad, and she had me help her drop it overboard before it started to smell. She didn't want her supervisors to know she had used a rancid ingredient. Oh, and listen to this. P.S. If you're wondering why the macaroni salad was in a long body-shaped bag, it's because I had that body bag left from when I was temping as a coroner last month. And P.P.S. If you're wondering why I called the macaroni salad he once by accident, it's because it was a macaroni salad sculpture of Siegfried.
What about Roy?
It doesn't say, but there is a P.P.P.S. If you're wondering what happened to the missing waiter, they found him.
That was a strange boat trip.
Speaking of strange, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, did you mention something about Charles being executed?
I did, but he wasn't actually executed, dears. After I talked with the police for several hours, I was able to convince them to let him go.
What had he done?
He was charged with stealing and fraud. He had been using a net to skim the canal for sunglasses the tourist had dropped, and then he was selling them at inflated prices. I have a feeling he was up to a great many other things, but that's what they got him for.
Oh, my.
Did they let him re-enter America?
I'm afraid so, dears. But I booked him return passage on a later flight. I just couldn't take a 12-hour flight with Charles the Contractor on top of everything else.
Sounds like everybody had an exciting time alone.
Hey, except you. How was the Evita tour?
It was canceled again.
So what'd you do?
Not much. Just watch TV in my underwear. Just a normal week.
That didn't sound so bad after all the crazy things we had to go through.
Yes, boy. Why, you're the only one who wasn't interrogated by the police for hours.
I guess that's something. What's that one say, Kendall?
It's from Sheriff Frogblast. It says to call into the station right away if anyone knows the whereabouts of this escaped convict, Jack Rabbit Greenfield. What a goofy name. Says he was in prison for embezzlement, fraud, petty theft, Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Grand Piano, serial shoplifting, premeditated treason, and assaulting a costumed ghost at Not Scary Farms. Sheriff Frogblast wants to talk at length to anyone who might have knowledge of where the convict has been since his escape from the Busheltown Maximum Security Prison last week. Here's a picture of the sheriff faxed. Look familiar to anyone? Cliff?
Nope. Haven't seen him.
All right, well, I'll just throw it away then. Hey, what's the new rug all slanty like that for?
It needs to be pushed back to the door vertically.
You mean horizontally?
Oh, horizontally is correct, dear, but I think you mean push up against the front desk
dear,
here.
You know it would look better vertically, please.
No, that doesn't look right. Up by the door horizontally?
Vertical.
Vertically by the desk, bow.
Here we go again, again.
Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you here next time on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.